Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father." And we are so far removed from Jesus that we don't recognize anymore how revolutionary those two words are to put in the lips of the average person in addressing God. One of the core Christian faith essentials is that we believe in God, our Father in heaven. Some of us have grown up in the church. Those words roll off our tongue. We can say them at night in our sleep. But they've become so familiar that we've become immune to the power of those two words. And yet at the same time, I recognize that there are other people here this morning for whom just the word Father triggers an incredible and sometimes devastating array of emotions. For some of us, and I'm really in this category, I mean, I had a great dad. He was not perfect. But I wouldn't trade my dad for anything in the world. And so for me to use the word Father for God just launches me into a wonderful place. But for a lot of other people, the word Father is a whole mixed bag. Things we loved, but maybe even some things we loathed or disturbed us. And what's sadder still is that there are others for whom just the word Father brings pain and hurt and anger and just, you know, a vast array of hurt-filled emotions. Some of us sitting here, maybe, certainly some who might listen to this kind of throughout the world on that amazing thing called the internet, maybe could never call that person who was their biological father anything with an affectionate term like daddy or even dad. It may have been abusive, demeaning, maybe pulled out, was never there. These are sad facts that scar our world. And my prayer is that if you're in that boat sailing through life, that somehow you'll give me, and more importantly, you'll give God an opportunity to become your perfect Father in heaven, and that you can get past those negative emotions enough to hear that God is not what your earthly father was. Jesus invited his disciples to pray, "Our Father." And this morning, I want to talk about the beauty and the wonder and the amazement of that invitation to know God as Father. Matthew 6 is where we read the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus is teaching. It's his Sermon on the Mount. And he's given a little bit of instruction about prayer. Said things like, don't make your prayers show off, you know, in front of the world as if you're some super religious person. But after he gives a few corrections, he says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy, blessed, wonderful is your name. Familiar to us. Absolutely radical in his world. While the Old Testament does talk about God as Father, it's typically kind of in the sense that God was Father of the kingdom of Israel. God was Father of the nation. And never would a Jewish person dare to personalize that where they would talk to God as Father. They preserve the holiness, the transcendence, the wonder of God, the kinds of things we talked about last week. And they really put almost an absolute divide in the stand that said, God is wholly other, and we don't dare connect to Him personally like you might connect with that best of parents. Without losing that understanding that God is so completely beyond us, we can't fully understand Him. Jesus is inviting us into an incredible relationship where we can know God as our Father in heaven. Let me just take a moment to explain this. And a lot of things in the Bible are too big for us to fully understand. So here's the way I do it. I love when Timmy plays on the violin. I mean, there's just something about a violin. It could be said of the guitar. It could be said of any stringed instrument. But a stringed instrument only works when those strings are pulled to a certain tension. And if you look at a violin or a guitar or a piano, you'll notice that they're always pinned in such a way that there are two points over which the tension is pulled. And you just have to turn that knob just to the right tension in order to make each string sing with the tone it's designed to sing. And often in the Bible, God explains Himself in ways that seem like they're opposed to each other. How can God be so completely different from us that He created everything we know, everything? Things that we have discovered in science and things that they haven't discovered yet. And it may be another century if Jesus doesn't return before they begin to explore those areas. How can God have created all of that and be so completely big and awesome and powerful that He can stop the sun for a full day? And yet, God says, I'm also your Father. And it's really meant to be understood that way. Your Father, not the mean, austere, I'm your Father, you will do what I say. But I'm your Father. I care for you. I love you. I will do anything to watch over and protect you. And so for me, I have what I often call my violin string understanding of God, where I have to hold in tension two points, and I have to keep them just at the right balance so that they sing with the beauty that is intended in Scripture. And so without losing this understanding that God is huge and big and gigantic and can do anything, I don't want to lose that. But I also need to add to that, that God is Father. Amen. Daddy. With this invitation to pray, our Father, Jesus provides that second tension point for our understanding of God. Folks, we can know God in an intimate, personal, connecting way as the perfect Father in heaven. Let go of any negative stuff you have with that word for just a few moments. Now, names are important. You move into a group, and if someone can come up to you and say, hey, Bill, how you doing? You're like, wow, that's pretty powerful that person can remember my name. And, you know, we're human beings, we're kind of funny. We heighten the importance of names when we give, you know, kind of pet names or affirming nicknames to other people. And when we develop affectionate names for people. So, Father is kind of the biological term. William Joseph Gestel, he wasn't senior, I'm junior, but William Joseph Gestel was my father. I don't think I ever called him father. He was dad, you know. Sometimes he was my pop. You know, and those kinds of names express a connection, you know, that, what's the word? It's deep, it's real, it's honest. It speaks of a knowing. You know, how do you explain that? Well, the reason I bring that up is because commentators have suggested that behind the Greek word pater in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus didn't speak Greek, he spoke Aramaic, and behind that Greek word was most likely the Aramaic word Abba. We sang it in one of the songs. Now, A-B is the Aramaic word for father. But when you put the B-A on the end, it's kind of like adding D-Y to dad. It becomes that familiar term. It becomes the term that the young child would use. You know, my picture is the father coming home after work, and the young child kind of playing on the floor turns, sees the door opening, knows who it is, turns and runs and says, Daddy! That's the understanding of the word Abba, Father. And the reason that commentators have that is not just that they've pulled some thought out of the air, but it grows out of Jesus' prayer in the garden. When Jesus is in the garden, in that most critical, emotional, tender, frightened, vulnerable place in his life, just before he's going to go to the cross, he prays, Mark 14:36, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Mark, who is so good at giving us glimpses of the Aramaic culture and then translating it into Greek, uses that double word, Abba. He gives us the Aramaic word. We don't even try to translate it. We just, you know, use the actual word, Abba, Father. And it seems that that's how Jesus himself prayed. And read through the Bible sometimes, how often he speaks of God as Father. And it seems that his understanding of the Father, again, was not that austere Father, but it was Daddy. Try putting that on the Lord's Prayer sometime this week. Say, our Daddy in heaven. And just see how that changes the emotion of the prayer. And maybe you had a different kind of familiar name for your dad if it was a good connection. Use that word and just see how it feels. It changes the understanding of the prayer. Now, Paul, who was about as Jewish as you could get, he was a Pharisee, you know, he was a religious, you know, a lay religious leader, super schooled in Judaism. When he talks about God as Father, guess what he uses? Abba, Father. Look what we're said in Romans 15. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, Jesus, we cry, what? Abba, Father. Daddy, Father. Again, in Galatians, because you are his sons, God sent his Spirit of his Son into your hearts. The Spirit who calls out what? Abba, Father. There is no evidence outside of the New Testament that Jews were ever taught to pray Abba, Father. The only way Paul could get this understanding was from Jesus himself when he had his own revelation on the road to Damascus and the disciples who were with Jesus as Jesus taught. God says, I am not just the one enthroned over everything. Yes, I am that. But I also long to be your Abba, Father, your Daddy in heaven. Can you catch what those simple words are communicating to us as people? It is one of the revolutionary core truths of the Christian faith. God is not just out there. He is out there, but He's not just out there. He also wants to be right there with us. Now, one of my, again, images, and we all live in our images. One of my images is being able to crawl up on the lap of my Father God, my Daddy God, and share with Him anything. Now, let me tell you, that does not come from my home. I had a great dad, but he was not affectionate at all. I can't even imagine climbing up into my dad's lap. So I have taken all the good things of my dad and I kind of use those to help me understand God. But my understanding of my Daddy God in heaven moves so far beyond what my father helped me know. And that's my prayer for all of us. And that's the kind of God God wants to be, is He wants to be your Daddy God. Do you need a place to go when you're in trouble? See, Abba, Father, Daddy, God wants to hold us when we're hurting. He wants to grow us to be a mature, well-functioning adults. He's willing to release us into the world. Yet He's always there to receive us back if things go wrong, if we head in the wrong direction. He's that prodigal father that Jesus talked about who's waiting and waiting and waiting for His son to come home. He'll never abandon us because He wants to be our Daddy God. In Hebrew culture, father had a number of very significant roles to play in the family. The Abba Father's job was to prepare his family, and particularly his sons, how to live life. The book of Proverbs is the wisdom of one father passing them on to another father. That's what Proverbs is. And you could take the book of Proverbs and sum it up in Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. That's the message of Proverbs. Last night at City Fest, Luis Palau spoke, and he credited his grandfather for telling him, Luis, when you grow up, read one chapter of Proverbs every day. It'll help you keep your life clear. And Luis says, I'm now 80 years old, and I have done that, and God has guided me through it. By the way, Billy Graham has the same advice. Those are two men of incredible integrity, even though they have been on the world stage, because they've listened to this book of Proverbs, which was fatherly wisdom to the kids. Jesus taught us to pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Folks, we can only help God's kingdom come in if we have listened and learned and been prepared from God to do that. It's hidden, but it's there. We can only forgive others if we've been taught by our Daddy God in heaven what forgiveness is really all about. It's right there in the prayer, a little hidden, but present. The Hebrew, the Israelite father, not only prepared his children, he protected the family. First of all, it was the men that went to war. They were willing to put their life on the line for the protection of the nation. And every father was expected to protect his family. There's a story in the early part. It's a story of Abraham as God is calling a people into being. And as God calls Abraham to leave, Abraham takes his nephew Lot with him. Now, by taking his nephew with him, Abraham is becoming the father figure for his nephew Lot. They go to this new land. They divide up areas, and all of a sudden, Lot gets in trouble, and these kings descend on him, and they capture Lot and his entire family. What does Abraham do? He marshals all of the males in his family, and he rides off to rescue his son, if you will, Lot. That's a picture of God protecting us. Jesus taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Right in the prayer, we're turning to our Father God and saying, protect us. And Israelite fathers were also expected to provide for their families. Now, we naturally think of things like food and clothing when we think of provision, and that's true. Food's essential. But add to that the everyday needs of life and inheritance. Scripture talks a lot about the inheritance we will receive as sons. And again, that's not meant to be offensive language. It's simply using the language of the day where the son became the heir of all the property. So God is saying both to men and women, you're going to become my heirs. I'm going to give everything I have to you. The Old Testament father was to provide for the family. When we started out in ministry, we served a church in western Pennsylvania. It was a farming community, more cows than people. And there was a significant and growing Amish population in the area. The Amish families, the father would provide a farm for each son except the firstborn who got the family farm. We would go to these auctions as the world was changing. And these 150, 100, 200 acre farms were no longer profitable for U.S. farmers who needed to have big tractors and this and that and those kinds of things. We would go to the auctions of these farms and you would watch people bidding. And there would be an Amish guy sitting over in the corner and, you know, the auctioneer would be blah, 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 you know. And then the Amish farmer, when he won the bid, would generally turn to his son and hold up a couple fingers. One, two. And I asked him, and I said, what's he doing? He's telling the son to go get one or two milk cans because that's where they put their cash. And he had just purchased the farm with one or two milk cans of cash. And he would give it to the son, and this would become the son's inheritance. That really is it's an image that grows out of the Old Testament and how fathers were to treat their sons in that case. God is giving us an inheritance. And what are we taught to pray? Give us today our daily bread. God, Abba, Father, Daddy, provide for me today. Please, please, Daddy, provide what I need. Folks, this understanding of God who is intimate is revolutionary in the landscape of religions. It's one of the things that separates us. Because God has come down and said, I will be with you. You can know me. I know you. In most of the songs we sang this morning, a lot of them had the fatherhood of God embedded in it. But if you notice, they all also had the holiness and awesomeness in God. And that's that whole violin piece. Keep both in tension, but don't lose either side. And the world revolution was not that God was big and huge and amazing, but that God would also be right there with each of us as we go through life. We believe in God who is supreme creator of all, and we believe in God who is Daddy. Do you believe? Do you, even more important than that, do you know this God who is willing to be your perfect, wonderful Daddy in heaven? We get to know Him through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the way. And I will speak more about that next week. But if you feel distant from God, if you've not ever experienced that sense of God who will be right there with you through thick and thin, through great times and through bad times, and it doesn't matter if you're responsible for the bad times or not, then it really comes down to, will you say from the true meaning of your heart, Father, our Father, my Father, who is in heaven, blessed, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Will you make that faith statement that I'm going to do your will above all others? I want to be your child, your son, your daughter, heir of the kingdom. Friends, that happens when we put our faith in God, when we put in trust in Jesus Christ as God's one and only Son and Savior of the world. The prayer teams today will be able to talk with you more about this. If you're ready to say, God, I believe, when you go to the prayer teams, just tell them, I need some help in knowing God, my Savior. They will pray with you. They'll explain to you. They'll help you. Because there's nothing, at least from my own experience, there is nothing more life-changing and life-blessing and life-fulfilling than knowing God as my Daddy. And that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Daddy in heaven, thank you. Thank you that even though you are all-powerful, you know everything, you can do everything, you spoke this world into being by your simple words. Thank you that you don't want to just stay out there, but you want to be known even as you know us. Thank you for Jesus, who taught us to pray, Father, who prayed, Abba, Father, who instructed Paul to teach the church what it means to be able to pray, Abba, Father, and who also went to the cross to take the penalty for our sins, for all the things I and we have done wrong. You paid the price so we could be free. God, I pray for people right now who are being drawn to Abba Father. I pray that right now they will say simply, in their own heart, God, I want to know you as my Daddy in heaven. I believe in you. I believe in Jesus. I lay my life at your feet. Teach me what it means to be your daughter or son. Lord, as they pray that, bring life into their being and help us as a church to nurture that faith as we all learn to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.